Williamsburg Weekly, a public service of the College of William and Mary, and this station. Today's guest is Ben Carnevale, a member of Basketball Hall of Fame and current athletic director at William and Mary. Our topic, intercollegiate athletics in the 80s, sport, business, or both. Mr. Carnevale, what would you say is the single most striking difference between college athletics today compared to college athletics when you began coaching college basketball in the 1940s?
Well, I think first, the financial aspects of the complete sports program, Mike. I think nowadays, with inflation and with the budget crunch on all athletic programs and in education in general, all of aspects of education, the cost of your tuition and all, it's just gotten to the point where you almost have to run it as a business to retain the program that you have.
Well, in the last decade, our sports pages have been filled with stories of under-the-table deals, forged transcripts, and a win-at-all-costs attitude in college sports. Are the problems of amateur intercollegiate sports being exaggerated, or are we just seeing the tip of an iceberg in these stories?
No, I don't think they're being exaggerated. They're just conditions that exist in certain institutions that have felt that in order to compete and be competitive and to win, they may have had to take that course, Mike. I think you'll find where you have a good athletic administrator, a good coach, and a good president, all that has an idea of what's going on in athletics and keeps their finger on the pulse, I don't think you'll find that possible. But there again, some institutions feel that they have to follow that course in order to win.
With the tremendous amounts of money being invested in big-time and even not-so-big-time college athletic programs today, it's clear that intercollegiate athletics is big business. How difficult is it to balance the moral standards of amateur athletics with the financial pressures of a big business?
Well, there again, I think if you have good administrators and good coaches that understand what your philosophy and what your policy is at any institution, Mike, I think by keeping up with the trends in the athletics and also retaining a sane view regarding the entire athletic program and trying to develop funds that maybe come from your alumni and develop a course that basically is more or less in line with the philosophy of the institution, Mike. I think that you have to decide basically where you're going and how you want to do it, and more or less run that program within those guidelines.
Well, is it possible to be successful in, say, Division I big-time athletics without compromising what people would call the moral standards of amateur sports?
Yes, I think so, but I think it takes certain conditions. You have to have the proper facilities, Mike. You have to develop a program that will develop the revenues that can pay for that program. I think that's one of the big problems we have here at William & Mary. Our football facility is just not large enough to attract the decent teams to come in here, and we can't pay the guarantees if we don't have that enlarged stadium.
Well, the athletic director at DePaul University recently resigned because he felt the university was placing too much emphasis on the money-making aspect of the school's successful basketball program. Are we seeing a trend toward more business-oriented athletic directors today?
I think you will, and I think it'll be part of the future too, Mike. I think because an athletic director coming in today has to develop revenues and finances to underwrite the cost of the program. And there again, I think with the advent of your new cable TV and TV programs and enlarged stadiums and your ticket costs, I think an athletic director today has to look at those areas, but do it within the guidelines, again, as I said earlier, regarding the college's basic athletic policy.
Well, where do these men come from if they're no longer simply ex-players and coaches?
Well, I think they can come from the field of promotions. They can come from any area where they may have had the background to develop the program.
Well, where are college athletics headed in the next decade?
I think that the big problem that we do have is underwriting the cost of college athletics with inflation. I think that all of us, if you've seen in recent newspaper articles, all of us are looking at our programs very, very closely. Some of your largest and most successful institutions have had to drop certain sports. I think we're very, very fortunate here at the College of William & Mary and able to underwrite the cost of 15 men at programs and 15 women programs, a total of 30 different athletic activities. We have been let's say, very, very careful of how we spend our funds and our budget compared to many of the larger Division I institutions is just a small fraction of what they're spending. I know our budget is in the area of maybe $1.5 million, where you take some of the larger institutions that are spending $5 and $6 million to run their program. But basically, it's a matter of finances, and I think you have to get competent people that can develop those finances under the proper guideline and under the proper rules and under the NCAA or the AIAW and run their programs on that basis.
This has been Williamsburg Weekly, a public service of the College of William & Mary and this station.